March 14th, I would be able to elaborate. But since it's March 1st, we'll get 15 minutes in. There's probably only one at the combine because none of us really know what it takes to be a long snapper, right? But I think it is interesting. It's very specialized. I can say that the special teams coaches do a really good job because that's their world. They know the intricacies of that position. And whether you're at the combine, I think you get to the combine because there's kickers and punters here, and you definitely need a snapper. But there's going to be snappers that played in college football this year that aren't at the combine that will snap in the NFL. So, but it is, like you said, it's just a specialized, very, very specialized position. It's interesting, having a kid that plays high school football and seeing how their snapper on the team is going to end up going and playing in college football. But all the camps he attends, and it's almost like a golfer. So they live a specialized life. I think the biggest challenges in the early stages is dealing with the rules in the off season, and Jared can't come to work, and he wants to come to work, and Sean wants him to come to work, and so you got a new staff, they're putting in a new offense, and you can't do it ASAP, which, in most transitions in life, guess what, if there's a transition, you start immediately on it. So I think that's the biggest hindrance, is just the working within the rules and the time frame.
Once they started working together, how do you stimulate that and get it accelerated so that you can't quite catch up with
it? I think it takes, in their cases, Jared was itching to come back to continue getting better. Obviously, Sean was itching to install his offense and do his part in helping Jared improve. But it was really two human beings that were passionate about getting better. And once that occurs, I don't know if they took any time off. So I do, Jared was then working weekends per se. I think, Wade does a lot of, and most offensive coordinators would know this, he has a lot of man principles. Some really good defenses have a lot of zone principles. Now, nowadays in the NFL, whoever you are as a coordinator, you can't just do man or zone. You got to mix it up. But I think when you've got a lot of, your coverage is based out of man, and you got someone that you could, put on a very good man on the other side of the ball, it does allow you, it frees you up to do other things with the other 10 players and get creative with blitz packages and all of that. It's interesting if there's a different, but what obviously we're division champs, so that's different, but you still have the same motivation because you move the needle per se. You got to this level of the video game, but you want to go farther. So whether you were here last year trying to get to this level or here this year trying to get to that next level, it's the same desire to wake up every day and go, okay, how do we get better? Because yesterday, was successful, but not where we want to be. It is interesting. I think for the good of football, there's probably more defensive backs available in terms of let's call it a pool to select from, because starting in whatever league, you're 7-on-7s. They don't bring the DL or the linebackers to 7-on-7s. A lot of times it's 5 or 6 DB. So there's more players playing that position. But it's interesting in college, too. It gets specialized as depending on the conference they're in, the offenses they play against, you might have a corner who's built to play on the outside, but it was best for his college team to play on the inside based on who they were playing and what other teams' quarterbacks can do and things like that. And you don't get a chance to see the guy play on the outside. So it poses some difficulties. But I think all in all, it is nice that because I think John Lynch was up here earlier and I heard him say this is a spacing game. So there's a lot of athletes that can play in space in college football. Yeah, you have to look at those traits, and then you have to predict that you can, and the coaching staff can develop him to play out there. Obviously, anytime you're doing it, you'd love to say, okay, we saw him do it. But it was interesting. I was talking to one college coach who has a corner in the draft. He had a great story in that he played at a high school. They were, you know, basically, let's call it, played a deep zone coverage. The conference he was in didn't throw the ball a lot, but you got this big athlete. So he ended up watching him as a vice on punt team because that's when he's up pressing the gunner on the punt team. He says, okay, that's when I saw him press, flip his hips, and things like that. So it was interesting how he said how he found this particular corner. But you got to do those type things.
Last year at the combine,
I don't know if I have a good term for junior, but let's call it, hey, he was offensive MVP for a reason, special player, did it a lot of different ways, running the football, catching the football, scoring touchdowns. So it's one of those guys where not only does he help your football team, he's just, you know, he's one of those guys, if I was paying to go see a game, I'd say let's go see Todd Gurley and one of those girdles. That's what we've nicknamed the hurdle, the girdle. So it's just fun to watch him, but I can tell you this, he really helps the Rams offense, and he, you know, won the MVP of the offense in the NFL for a reason.
The value of running back seems to have gone up all over the league after a period there when they seem, you know, teams seem to treat them like they were a dime a dozen. What's changed?
Good question. I think, you know, is it the value of the running back, but sometimes in a, especially the last few guys, they're just, guess what, they're really talented human beings. So if they'd have played something else, maybe the value of that position would have gone up. So it probably depends on the person who's actually putting on the helmet. And I think the value of the running back gets more valuable when that player actually is one of your more important offensive weapons and how a coach can use it. But it's interesting, right, going back to when we were in high school, you know what? Who touched the ball the most? The running back. And it's probably still that way in the NFL. So I think it's always been a very important position.
How much does that valuation change now that you have pass-catching running backs as talented? Not just once Gurley, but there's Kamara, there's other guys out there.
Oh, it's – and now you put genres on running backs. Are they more in-line, first and second down type running backs? Are they more change of pace? Can they catch? And the really good ones – can do both, where, hey, you can run between the tackles but also send him out. That way when this running back is in the game, at least the defense is on their heels a little bit in terms of, all right, what is he going to do? Where if you get specialized, you know, defense coordinators going to go, okay, so-and-so's in the game, they're probably going to throw it or block it. But I think now in college football, it's hard to be a running back and not catch the football. You know, it's always fun when you're watching a player and you know there's no chance he's getting to you, and we got a good running back, so you're probably not picking him. And if he does fall to you, you might trade that pick. But you know he's not getting there, and it's fun because you sit back and go, wow, this guy's just fun, fun to watch. He did some amazing things. I think what's your name?
Mike.
As Mike asked, I didn't want to just say this gentleman, but Mike asked a good question in, hey, how does this year change? But I think it's an urgency to get better. It's an urgency to improve. You have the things you want to address, and there's a lot of avenues to address them. And then you know, just like some offensive coordinators, you like to attack, you like to put it in two-minute mode and get things done. So I think it's that's the philosophy of, hey, let's urgently try to get better. That, you know what, I think that's going to be determined by if he's ready. And just because he's a first-round quarterback doesn't necessarily mean he's ready. And when you're not ready for that first game doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be bad. But I do think, as we all know, if you send someone out who's not quite there for whatever reason, and quarterbacks have a harder time coming in because they're coming from usually a system where they're not in the huddle, they're getting hand signals to all of a sudden there's somebody, they got an earphone in their helmet and there's a coach sending in a sentence, and now that guy's got to remember the sentence, get it to the other team, didn't remember. So you don't want to send that guy out where he's still thinking, has a few bad games, and that just leads to let's call it less confidence going forward. So it's case by case, and not everyone's going to be ready based on, you know, where they play college football and things like that.
Cooper Kupp made an instant impact, one of the better rookie wideouts and a mid-rounder for you guys. In recent years, that seems to be a trend that the mid-round wide receivers, at least right out of the gate, are outproducing the first-rounders. Do you agree with that assessment? And if so, can you put your finger on maybe why that's happened the past 4 or 5 years?
I hadn't done that study because I, when you said that, the first guy that came to my mind was Odell Beckham Jr. or somebody like that, and he was in the first round. But I get what you're saying. I think similar to the DBs, there's a lot of – if you got a lot of DBs on the field, there's a lot of wide receivers on the field. And those guys – there's a lot of passing now in middle school ball all the way up. So these guys are learning to really, let's call it the intricacies of route running. And I do think that kind of the farther you go back in the draft, maybe the less mom, dad, God-given – physical skills you have, that's probably the reason you got pushed back a little bit. But they are obviously successful, and I think because they were probably less gifted, they've really learned a craft of how to, you know, get open, make catches, move the chains.
What's your level of two more guys.
Like we mentioned, anytime we won the division championship, so everybody who was on that team for us last year played an important role. So it's important for us to work through this time. I know we've been working at the combine. I see Tony Pastor is over there. He's taking a slight break, but you know, this time of year we're trying our best to as Steve mentioned, urgently get these things done. So, but time will tell. Oh, we were very impressed with Josh, and it was fortunately we had a deep receiving crew last year that for the most part was healthy. But through the year, just at Texas A&M, there was a few things that he did at practice and even in games. You're like, wow, okay, that's the Josh Reynolds that we saw go up and make catches against, you know, good players in college football. So he can wow you with some of those catches. So very, very excited about him. Whether you know. No matter who the first three receivers are.
What sold you on Cooper Kupp? When do you remember being
like that? I think I was personally probably sold on Cooper Kupp long before last year, right? You just saw him over the years, whether it the year before where, all right, you're watching Oregon and he plays the first, and he may have had 400 yards catching, and you're like, okay, who is this kid? He's fun to watch. But I think anytime you turned on the film, Cooper Kupp was, I know this, other teams knew he was the guy to stop. They just couldn't stop it. And because he played a lower level of football, but very competitive, when he went to the Senior Bowl, he did some of the same things. And I think when you see somebody at the Senior Bowl do it against guys that are going to be playing this league, you go, okay, there's an element, that, okay, there's – definitely a chance that what he does in college is going to translate to the NFL. You know, I think he definitely can be. I think when we lost Robert Woods this year, you know, he was able to go out and play outside because he is a bigger kid. I think with us, he's exceptionally well in the slot. So I think Coach McVay would love to keep him there just because it, you know, he values that slot receiver.
That's
Thank you, guys.